I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
eBay Motors is here for the ride. Remember when you first saw the potential? And then through some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Look to your left. Look to your right. It's official. No one's got a ride like this. There's nothing else that sounds like, feels like, or looks like the set of wheels in your garage. With over 122 million parts, you can make sure your number one ride or die stays running smoothly, so there's no limit to how far you can take it. Brake kits, turbochargers, engines, exhaust kits, roof racks, LED headlights, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus at these prices, well, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Welcome back to another episode of the Helium Boys podcast, a serious, non-serious USC podcast. I am your host for today's comeback episode. Shotgun, we're back. I am Chris Trevino. This is Shotgun Spratley on the other side of the internet, on the other side of the country. It's been so long, Shotgun. It's been so long, you didn't even start recording this podcast. We were just staring at each other, waiting for you to record. And yet, here we are. You've been hitting me up constantly about doing a podcast, and it's all on me. I haven't been reciprocating your offers to get back into the booth with you for Helium Boys, but we got to rip off the Band-Aid. We have to get back in action. Spring camp is upon us. Lots of things are happening. So it's about that time we had to get back in record the two Helium Boys, Shai.
Yeah, it's the first one back when I said, Chris, are we potting? Which I've asked, 4 or 5 weeks in a row, I believe now.
It's literally all he's texted me. It's just, are we potting? Are we potting? And I'm like, downvoting it. That's literally all it is.
And we set a time, like, all right, in 15 minutes, we'll do it. And then Chris texts me back almost immediately, like, we have a problem. I broke my mic. So, yeah, we're going to get going with, maybe the audio is not as best as it normally is, but it's preseason. Spring camp is coming up. It's kind of like the first game of preseason in the NFL. We got to get the kinks out. We got to get the starters out there for a little bit, try them out, get them some time, see how Kirk Cousins flows with Drake London and Bijan Robinson. I'm not happy about that move, by the way, Chris. I would rather them trade it up to go get Caleb Williams, but that's just me as a Falcons fan. But we got to get them out there, let them play a little bit together, and then get in the flow for when the season comes, and we gotta be on the grind and gotta be winning the games.
Except we already have a flow. We know each other's rhythms and patterns, and I know how you like the ball when I throw it to you, vice versa. I guess in this analogy, we're both quarterbacks and we're both wide receivers and we're both throwing each other passes. I don't know. I am apologetic about my audio. I don't know how it's gonna come out. I did break the mic. I guess I technically broke the mic. So this episode might be haunted, and it's probably also not a great omen that I'm hosting this episode. Shaka, do you even remember what our last episode was? I think I know, but I don't actually know.
Holiday Bowl?
Yeah. I think it was the awards. We gave out season awards. I think that was our last one, which
we did a Holiday Bowl wrap up, and then we did a season awards kind of right after the new year.
Yeah, so we'll do a little spring talk today. We'll probably do a more in-depth one for next week, the week that spring camp is opening. So we're getting back into it. And then I have a fun off-season pod we're going to do that I'm really excited about. I'm just going to put Shotgun under the pressure okay. of picking things for the season. We've talked about it. He probably doesn't know what I'm talking about right now. Maybe he just realized it. But I'll tease that maybe next week. But very excited. But Shotgun, just because, you know, we're back into the mix of things doesn't mean we're going easy on each other, because it's the 2-minute drill. And that means you have 2 minutes to talk about whatever you want. You can talk about spring. You can talk about combine. You can just talk about the Kirk Cousins trade or signing for 2 minutes if you wanted to. That's all. That's your prerogative. I know you just did a triple double podcast, so maybe you're in the flow of talking about basketball already. So I have no idea what Shotgun's going to talk about, but he is on the clock. Shotgun, are you ready?
I am ready. Let's go.
Okay. Well, your 2 minutes, the first 2 minutes in a long time, begins now.
I
messed it up.
Oh, look at that. Struggling, Chris. I got to start with the women's basketball. What a phenomenal run by Lindsey Gottlieb and the women of Troy to make it through Vegas. You know, going through the gauntlet. The Pac-12 tournament is a gauntlet this year. There's 7 to 8 to 9 teams that could be in the NCAA tournament. We'll see how many actually get in. Hopefully it's at least 7, if not more. You know, they run through Arizona, a team I think should be a tournament team. They outlast Arizona for that one. Then they beat out physical UCLA to beat them in double overtime. And then they dominate. Their easiest win of the entire tournament comes against the number 2 team in the nation. Makes you wonder and dream, if you're a USC fan, of what could be the next month. How about the men's basketball team as well? They've come alive, you know, and they've got to do something drastic. They got to do something that's never been done, win the Pac-12 tournament from a 9 seed. But you got to feel like at least there's a sliver of hope now after them beating number 5 Arizona. They won 4 of their last 5 games, I believe it is. They won 3 straight to end the season. So they're playing much better. Now, if we could just get the baseball team going right now, I'd feel like, yeah, we get some flow going here. And now we're going to roll right into spring camp. In 2 weeks, Selection Sunday is going to be on this Sunday. Next week is going to be a big week. Spring camp is going to start. I'm going to come out. I'm going to see a little bit of spring camp. I'm going to come out for the women's basketball. The first couple rounds are going to be in Galen Center. Hopefully you all can come out for that as well. But I'm looking forward to getting out there and seeing. Be my first chance to see some of these freshmen, right? You know, I want to see what Cameron Fountain looks like now after seeing him in high school and see how much his body has changed. I want to see how, you know, some of the new guys look. But I'm looking forward to seeing what Eric Henderson sounds like. Even if I just got to stand outside the gate just to listen, I'm going to find where the D-line are practicing, go over closest to that area just to listen in and see hear as much as I can from Eric Henderson. That's what I want to see.
How can you... You did it. You actually had 4 extra seconds because I messed up the thing and you didn't start talking until 4 seconds in. So you technically had about 3 seconds to spare, but very good effort for your first 2-minute drill in, I would say, 2 months. So I'm very, very impressed. Very impressive.
All right. I appreciate it, Chris. Now it's your turn. You got 2 minutes starting now.
I thought you would maybe give me a little bit of a warm up because I literally have no idea what I'm going to talk about. So I'm basically just going to improv this entire thing. Shout out to the women. Yes, should be easy. I do want to give a shout out to the women of Troy. Just an incredible run, incredible season going on. And the fact that they were able to do it without Juju Watkins going Juju mode should be terrifying for the rest of the NCAA field. They are a hot, hot team. They're going to be the number one overall seed. And just the just getting a chance to win a Pac-12 championship, they have been the bright spot on this entire USC athletic season. You know, men's football, there's no women's football. Football team, very underachieving, 8-5. Sure, the Holiday Bowl, you know, that was fun a little bit, but very underachieving team. Men's basketball, I poke fun of them all the time online, Shotgun, about how they always lose and it's always a comeback that they allow or a last second run that doesn't end up happening. Just been a dreadful season for men's basketball. Women's basketball has been the bright spot for the Trojan community, Trojan athletic community, and I'm excited to see how far they're going to go. And I also want to shout out Ahmad, who has been covering the team all season, and he's done a great job. He's there in Vegas, so just a little shout out to our fellow writer. And in terms of spring, I'm excited to get out there. There's going to be some very early practices. I'm not really looking forward to that, but I'm ready for the suck. I'm ready for the getting there first by the gate. I'm ready to see everyone come out before the sun has come out, the crack of dawn. I'm ready to get those videos. I'm ready to get those ghost notes back going. I'm itching to take some notes. I know we're not going to be able to watch a lot, but I'm just ready to get out there and start covering some football again. Because it comes quickly. That offseason feels long, and then it's right here upon us. And here we are, Shotgun.
201, Chris. 201. Yeah, it's fine. We'll give you that extra second.
I took that extra. You yielded my time. You yielded your time to me, so that's fine. We're okay. We're not in, you know, season form, but I think we're just shaking the rust off, and that's okay. I do think we should start with spring camp a little bit. I know you've been just talking basketball a lot recently, but I did want to shift a little bit to spring camp, which opens on March 19th. We don't know the full schedule, what it exactly is going to look like. As I mentioned, it sounds like we're going to have some early practices in the first couple of weeks. So we'll be on the lookout for that. And obviously we'll post it out there when we get that full schedule. I wouldn't expect to get the schedule until Sunday, maybe this week or maybe later, maybe the 2 days before the actual camp opens. So we'll be on the lookout for that. But Shotgun, this isn't going to be a full-on preview. We'll do something more in depth for the next time we meet together for a podcast, but it's just like a little general discussion. A couple topics I just wanted to put out there are kind of three players you're looking to buy stock in for spring camp. We do a lot of stocks here on this on this show, Shotgun, so it's kind of on brand for us. So just like a few players you're rushing to buy stocks for this spring camp.
I mean, I think everyone is trying to buy Jacoby Lane stock, right? So, you know,
it's whatever, high.
Yeah, it's definitely high on the market right now. He's going to have the extra opportunity because Deuce Robinson is playing baseball. Now, Deuce Robinson is still going to be participating in football. I did talk to him at the very beginning of the baseball season. He said he's not going to miss much time, and that's kind of a similar thing that Lincoln Riley said. He's gotten a couple opportunities in baseball. He's not, you know, necessarily a full-time player or anything. So, you know, if there's a conflict, he probably will lean towards football, I would think, right now, you know, with the baseball team struggling a little bit too. So I think, but still, Jacoby Lane is going to be out there full-time. He's going to get a ton of opportunities, a ton of reps, because they're not going to have a ton of bodies out there. So I think the fact that he's already got a good rapport with Miller Moss, that I think it's going to just continue to grow and grow and grow as his body continues to mature. He's going to be scary. He could has the potential to just be a scary player out there for any DB that has to go up against him.
And you mentioned it, the stock's pretty high. So you're just banking on it even going up even more. Like, even though you're getting it at a high price, you're banking on it like doubling, despite, you know, where you buy in at here for spring, because he's very, very highly hyped going to spring camp.
I mean, I feel like I had already purchased some stock early, so now I'm just
sure, you know,
my price is technically not as high as everyone is getting in fresh, because, you know, you split the cost of it for the actual value of it. So I still got, you know, I think I'm getting a good value, you know, being able to double up my stock right now on Jacoby Lane.
Okay, that's a smart buy. For me, I'm going Joquavius Marks, JoJo Marks. I feel like not a lot of people are talking about him. I know when you talk about the running back room, it's usually, oh, it's very young, and then you have JoJo Marks, who's good. But I don't think that, you know, we're not discussing how big of an addition that was. They're still going to need to bring in another veteran running back. I know the room is changing, you know, with Anthony Jones Jr., the TCU running back coach that they just hired. He's coming in, you know, it's going to be guys technically he did not recruit. So maybe there's a little bit of feeling out there, but I think JoJo Marks, at the time that he, you know, committed to USC from Mississippi State, was a vision. They still need another one, but he is a very talented running back out of the SEC, very experienced. Basically almost another wide receiver. Just if you look at his career reception numbers, he catches the ball a lot when he was down there at Mississippi State. So I'm buying some stock in JoJo Marks. If you remember, Marshawn Lloyd was a spring star out of that spring game. He only got like two carries or something like that. But we saw the signs of what is to become. And now he's, you know, maybe the first running back off the board for the NFL draft. We'll see. He's a big stock riser in the combine. I think we'll talk about that a little bit later. But I'm just throwing some money, throwing some stock buyage into JoJo Marks. I think he's going to be, it's going to have a big spring just for the fact that he is a veteran. And, you know, there's a couple of young guys who are still learning, still growing. And obviously he still has to learn the offense, but I think that's his backfield until they, you know, bring in another guy to complement him as a veteran.
Yeah, and that to me makes it interesting of how much do you put on him? Because you got to learn the offense, you got to do all those things, but also you're like, he's a veteran, how much wear and tear do we want to put on him, that type of thing. Lincoln Riley hasn't really, as far as we know, let me caveat this, as far as we know, Lincoln Riley hasn't really held guys back a ton and just given them veteran days off necessarily. You know, he usually kind of goes and pushes guys to be out there. Rather than saying, okay, you know it, we're just going to be light on you. Again, as far as we know. So I'm curious to see what we hear about, you know, how much he's actually used. And in the spring game, is he used much, or is it, okay, you get a couple series and then we'll turn it over to the freshman, or, you know, if there's someone else that is able to come, nobody will be able to come in that soon. But, you know, we'll see when the fall comes, if someone else is in that mix battling with him or whatnot. My second one is Zion Branch. You know, he's was out with injury. He told us when we had him and his brother Zachariah on the we had him on Tunnel Vision together that he would be back by the spring. So I'm curious to see how much he's able to do. And, you know, his stuff was on the rise, but when you take that injury and it's another knee injury, your stock plummets, right? You know, no one's going to say, okay, he's coming, he's definitely gonna be a starter, he's gonna be All-American, any of that type of stuff. So the rise starts with the spring. So I think you're kind of buying low right now, and I'm curious to see how much he does. I'm hoping he can do pretty much everything, you know, get, you know, fully invested in the new defense and be able to do as much as possible so that he could potentially be a guy in the mix in the fall when it comes around.
That's a good one. That was one I consider, you know, we love Zion Branch, very talented athlete, just has to stay healthy. That's going to be the big thing moving forward in his career after, you know, two knee injuries that he's had to come back from. Flashed obviously last season before the injury, but yeah, you're hoping that this is the one where he can finally kind of have a full breakout. And it's going to be tough because that's a very talented safety room that they have there that they're fielding in the spring. A lot of competition, but we know pound for pound potential, he's up there in terms of his ability and his talent. So yeah, very excited to see what Zion Branch can do in this spring camp. My second one, I'm going to the front. I'm going to Elijah Hughes, baby. I'm buying more stock of Elijah Hughes. I think I bought that early, saw him on campus, looked bigger, looked different from maybe an edge guy to a true like defensive lineman kind of body type. I think I made some money on that based off how he played early in the season, then kind of just disappeared for a little bit. Then he came back a little bit. It was an interesting first year, but the big thing is he flashed. He flashed the ability to be a difference maker as a true freshman. And I'm really excited to see what that looks like with Eric Henderson, Coach Henny, getting that next level out of a talented guy, you know, an under-recruited guy, three-star guy from the DMV area, from Virginia. A lot of production, not necessarily the greatest league, but Elijah Hughes, I think there's a lot of talent there. Excited to see what he looks like coming out of that tunnel, that first day of spring camp, because they're getting bigger. I'm assuming Elijah Hughes is going to get bigger too. Can do a lot of things with him. I think he can move around depending on how much he gains. You know, I think there's a lot of different things you can do with him. We obviously like the talent that he flashed last year, the potential to get in the backfield, just had to close a little more, but Elijah Hughes, I think, could be a breakout on the defensive line. And they need guys to step up, considering all the guys that they lost to graduation. So give me Elijah Hughes, Shadi.
Interesting. I'm surprised that you didn't go with Devin Tompkins if you're going with the defensive lineman, just because you always try to buy more stock in Devin Tompkins, even though it hasn't really gone anywhere. You basically bought a penny stock and it stayed a penny so far. But that dude looks huge in photos and stuff. So, you know, is now the time? Is it third? It'd be his third year, I believe. Third year in the system. You know, those are the type of guys that you need to be, you know, to come in, put in the work, get bigger, get better behind the scenes, and then suddenly they're ready to go. And that's something you see from offensive lineman as well. And I've got my eye on Tobias Raymond. I just looking at him and seeing how much stronger he looks, you know, how much bigger he looks. Can he be a guy that gets in the mix at one of the tackle spot battles? You know, it looks like the tackle spots are going to be kind of open. You know, they still probably need to go in the transfer portal and get another tackle. You know, is Elijah Page the answer at left tackle? And then if he is, you know, who's going to play right? It's kind of up in the air. So can Tobias Raymond be a guy that gets in the mix? Now, I don't know if he'll take over and be a starter, what, but if he can get on the two deep, I think that just shows you the depth of this offensive line group, especially when they add in all the freshmen and stuff that they're going to have coming in as well. You know, another big class that they have. So Tobias Raymond is a guy that I'm buying low on, you know, guy that played a handful of special team snaps last year to get his feet wet. But I think he's probably behind the rest of the freshman group, or at least half of the freshman group. So people wouldn't be necessarily buying him first. So I'm going to go with Tobias Raymond as my kind of a sleeper stock pick to hit this spring.
I wouldn't even call Tobias Raymond a sleeper pick. I think that's a great pickup in general to buy stock in. Just seeing how much he's grown and developed from a body standpoint since he arrived, legit 6'7", he's gained a lot of weight. Like, this is a guy, it's the poster child for what you want to do with those three-star offensive linemen where you project. Mm-hmm. You're like, okay, this guy's 260, 250. We get him in our weight room. He's going to gain 50 pounds, 60 pounds, and then we're going to develop on the field. Tobias Raymond has accomplished the first part. He has put on the weight to be 300 pounds. Now we just got to see him on the field. He's been on the scout team. He's been working, you know, good athlete, good footwork. As I mentioned, that 6'7" frame. He has put on the muscle. He has put the work in the weight room. Now we're going to see it on the field. Just because he gained all the weight doesn't mean he's going to automatically be successful when they're out there on the practice field. But everyone's excited to see Tobias Raymond because, yes, I would say a dark horse to push for a job this season. They need more tackles. They need someone to step up, at the very least, be on that two deep and consistently be on that two deep. And maybe even, you know, have that Mason Murphy kind of role where he can come in, get a couple reps here and there, get his feet wet, get him more confidence in an actual game as opposed to special teams. But Tobias Raymond is a guy everyone should be circling. Like, let's see what happens this spring with one of these developmental linemen that they're confident in. They're going to do. That's why they didn't really hit the portal that hard, because they're confident in the development they have going on with their offensive linemen, the guys they signed recently. So Tobias Raymond is going to be a big potential part of this spring camp and then moving forward.
And the big thing when you put on that much weight is, can you still move the same? You know, I remember Austin Jackson, remember he was 255 or so as a five-star guy, 260, but he's running track. He's like part of the 4x4, I think, or 4x100 relay team for, you know, his team in Arizona. But he was that much of an athlete. But when he got to USC, he had to get up to 300 pounds. So he was putting on about 40 pounds in the first 6 months or so. And I remember talking to him, not that first year, because no one wants to admit it the first year, but the second year, when he felt way more comfortable with the weight he had added, and he continued to add some more, but he felt way more comfortable. He said, I felt sluggish the first year when he was moving because he just wasn't used to carrying that weight. So that's the next step of it is, okay, can you put on the weight, but then can you still move the same as you were previously? And so Tobias Raymond could be similar to like a Chad Wheeler as far as, you know, the picking up a three-star who is slim in high school but has the height, and you think is the frame that can put it on. And so far he's put on the weight. Now can he still move to be able to go with that to become a guy that's in that mix?
My last guy, and this is a guy, you know, that stocks are owned in him by several different entities across the USC football universe. But I'm just buying more stock because it has dipped a little bit since last year. I'm buying more stock in Eric Gentry. I'm just doing it. I'm throwing more money at it. Obviously, a lot of stock going into last season. Obviously, there was things going on, inconsistent playing time. Is he injured? Is he not injured? Why isn't he playing? Why isn't he starting? Oh, he is starting now. Oh, he's actually playing well. I can't explain what happened in 2023. He, you know, didn't have a super productive year based on, you know, everything I just said, but I'm still throwing more stock. I'm still throwing more stock because I feel like the potential is finally going to be unlocked. The full potential is finally going to be unlocked. You have a guy like Danson Lynn, very creative, comes from an NFL background. He's going to find ways to get him in position to make plays and just use a body type that is so unique and so rare at 6'7". There's a lot of things you could do with him. That's basically why I'm throwing more money at this. You know, he highlighted him as being a guy who can play any linebacker position that they have. And he's really excited to see what he looks like in the spring. So am I. I just want to see what this pairing looks like with Danson Lynn. Obviously, Matt Entz as the new linebackers coach. We know Eric Gentry is tough already. So I think he's going to, you know, take on that persona that Matt Entz wants that group to have and continue to develop. Obviously, he needs to continue to develop more size. Danson Lynn already hinted that he's already gained weight since he's been there. So all signs are pointing in the right direction. So I'm just loading up on more Eric Gentry stuff, more angry giraffe. Give me more angry giraffe.
I'm completely understanding. I had already purchased some before you did that. When there was a firing of Alex Grinch, I decided, you know what, I'll put a little more money in this Eric Gentry stock just because the next guy may be a little more creative with the way he uses him, and therefore, you know, he may be able to explode and, you know, play up to his potential. So I was already there, Chris, so I'm going to let you know. The one other guy I wanted to mention that I considered, and this is, you know, you try to get your low stocks. I try to get one in the middle. The guy that I would be high priced, you know, the Berkshire Hathaway stock, you know, the Apple stock would be Bear Alexander. Because, hey, he's coming off we saw the impact of what he can be for USC last year. The stats weren't that great, though, necessarily. I think with some extra additions on the defensive line, now, again, they got the additions last year, and I thought this was going to happen for not just him but other players, and it never did. It didn't materialize because no one else really performed near him. But if Isaiah Rakes and can, you know, if Nate Clifton, if those guys can be productive players, they ain't got to be all Americans. They ain't got to be all conference. Can you be productive? Can you count on them to actually do something in the game? Whether it be take up double teams so that then Bear Alexander gets a one-on-one opportunity. Or if Bear Alexander is getting double teamed, you can beat somebody one-on-one so that now they feel like, okay, we can't just leave somebody one-on-one. Like, they need someone else beside him to make some plays. That wasn't necessarily the case last year, but I think I'm keeping my eye out for sure on, you know, how his stock reacts based on the play of the others around him.
All right, Chaka, we had another topic here, but we have to be quick in our pacing for this episode because we are on a little bit of a crime, a time constraint. So we're on a crime spree. I'm only going to ask you for one thing. Like, if you could watch indefinitely all of spring, what's the one thing you would be watching?
Well, you already mentioned one of them, so I can go through it pretty quick. It's just Eric Gentry. You know, how is he used? You know, that's what I want to see. And I kind of mentioned the other one with Bear Alexander. I would like to see just, all right, how does he, you know, fit with everyone else? So the other thing that I would watch is, I guess, the offensive line. Can I throw in Miller Moss with the offensive line? Is like, how well does the offensive line kind of gel together in front of him? And because obviously there's big questions there. You know, there's big holes, multiple starters are gone. Where's Jonah Monheim playing? Those type of things. And then, you know, you want to see what Miller Moss has got during the spring. You want to see what, you know, it's going to be a quarterback competition with Jaden Maeva coming in. Can Miller Moss just solidify himself coming off that Holiday Bowl and say, yeah, this is my team. It's nice to see you here, Rook. You can learn from me. It's great that you're here. I'll help you learn the ropes for, you know, in case I go down with an injury type of thing or, you know, after I'm done here. But it would like to see, you know, how he runs the offense and how people react to him. You know, it's obviously the offense is going to look a little bit different than it did when Caleb Williams was there. Just some of the play calls and whatnot. So I kind of would put those together, hopefully. So that would be my one big thing to watch.
All good choices, all good things that I also would have mentioned. I would have mentioned the offensive line as well, because that's going to be obviously a big key for the team this year. You have Jonah Monheim back, but what does the rest look like? We don't know. Who's going to be your center? Who's going to be your left tackle? Are they still to be determined because of the spring transfer window that is coming up? And USC is definitely going to have to be a player in there for probably another offensive lineman and probably another defensive lineman. So we'll see what that looks like. if I'm choosing something, I want to see how much momentum those young wide receivers still have coming off the Holiday Bowl, because they were awesome. Even with Zachariah Branch not fully getting going, you know, you have this four core of Jacoby Lane, Deuce Robinson, Branch, and then Mekhi Lemon, who could change the outlook of the offense in terms of not needing to bring in another veteran wide receiver, because it's a very young room. You have Jaden Richardson in there as well, you know, coming from the D3 level, correct? D3 level. Does that even matter? Do you need to get a weapon? Do you have these four really, really talented guys that can carry the offense because they're just so talented? We saw what it could look like in the Holiday Bowl, making plays all over the field. I just want to see if they keep that alpha, that momentum, that confidence that they showcase and put on display in the Holiday Bowl, and see if that carries through into spring. If they're going to be like, no, coach, you don't need to bring in anybody else. We're it. We're going to be the guys to carry the passing attack in the wide receiver room.
I think they got to bring in more bodies, just because they don't have a ton of bodies. And I think for practice reasons, so that's something to keep an eye on too. With the, now they'll have walk-ons and stuff, but you know, as far as your reps, like those guys are going to get a ton of reps. So if they are behind in any facet, they're going to get to catch up real quick. It's not like they're waiting around behind Brendan Rice and Mario Williams and, you know, whoever else to get those reps, which could have been the case. They could have been still, you know, getting second team and getting third team reps this spring versus first team reps. They will get all those reps. I'm really curious to see what Jaden Richardson looks like. He's a guy that I've definitely considered for stock as well. And I would like to buy some stock in him. But it's just such an unknown, making that jump from D3 to D1. In baseball, we've seen a lot of guys make it and be successful recently, and you're starting to see it a little bit more with the college football transfer portal as well, just because they have an extra year of eligibility through some kind of weird thing. So teams are like, oh, let me look and see if I can find, you know, some older guys. But after talking with the coaching staff at Tufts, and the fact that they're the Jumbos, that's tremendous. I need a Jumbos hat for sure.
Jumbos?
Jumbos. They're elephants. So their name is the Tufts Jumbos.
Wow.
But they, talking to their coaching staff, they think he'll fit right in and has a chance to be really good. He said, I don't know. One of the coaches said, I don't know if he'll start necessarily, but he's the guy that's going to catch you some passes. So I'm excited to see what he can do and how he kind of fits in. And is it, you know, does it look like he's a freshman just kind of getting his footing, or does it look like, hey, this is a veteran guy that they brought in here? So that's another guy to keep an eye on as well.
All right. I almost called you Gerard. I'm so sorry. All right, Shotgun.
All right, Gerard, for
all right, Gerard. Ages. And
like, I think you, did you just finish recording last week's two-star?
Yeah,
you guys go that long. Did. I've actually.
It's true. It's true.
A little bit of behind the scenes here, or a little bit of confession. I've actually listened to last week's episodes somehow three times, though I haven't actually been awake any of those three times. I just get on a plane, I turn it on with wireless headphones, and I'm like, all right, I'll listen as much as I can before I fall asleep. And so I've listened to you guys. I've heard about how you didn't even know who Clinton Portis was. What, Chris?
I knew who Clinton Portis was. I didn't know him by face. I wasn't prepared to be talking to Clinton Portis. I did not in a million years think I was going to talk to this coach that I'd never met before and it be Clinton Portis. Does that make sense? My brain wasn't prepared to meet Clinton Portis. Also, yeah. Jerome Bettis was there and Marshall Faulk. So there was high level NFL running backs, Hall of Famers afoot at the tournament I covered.
Yeah. I mean, you got the good tournament there. You know, if USC is looking for a running back, could have just went and see, does Marshall Faulk have any eligibility left, you know, from San Diego State days? Because if he can catch the ball out of the backfield and, you know, still run a little bit, might be a good option. But yeah, that seemed like so much fun. I was disappointed that I missed out. You know, that I used to dread going to 7-on-7s. Now I'm just like, I wish I was out there getting to meet some of these kids and stuff. But I'll get a chance when at the Under Armour camp, will be in 2 weeks as well. I'll be out there for that. Another reason why I'm coming out in a couple weekends to come out there. A little bit of recruiting. I'll go to some baseball games, a little bit of women's basketball, and a little bit of spring camp. What more can you ask for? You know, you got to get 3-4 sports, some recruiting mixed in, whatever it takes.
You know, don't mean to brag, but me and Clinton Portis, I call him CP. We're tight now. We follow on each Instagram. Other Instagram. So yeah, we're pretty tight. I'll put you on, Shotgun. I'll put you on. But yeah, you did mention women's hoops. So I think that is a good segue into talking a little bit about hoops, because it is on our list. And you are the world's greatest USC basketball beat writer. Your talents have been wasted on this season, obviously, because the men's team have, they're not great. They're not great. They have been hot lately, so that is interesting. But the women's team, you know, they're surging. They're going to be number one seed, as I mentioned. Won the Pac-12 tournament title. Congrats to them. Congrats to the women of Troy and Lindsey Gottlieb for their big win, the last Pac-12 tournament title win. Mm-hmm. So some things going on in spring, going on this season. I almost called you Gerard again. Shotgun, please take over so I can stop calling you Gerard.
Wow, Chris. This is the Helium Boys podcast, in case you're wondering. I don't know if you're lost out there. No, but congratulations to the women of Troy, like I mentioned in the two-minute drill. One of the things that I want to mention, which I didn't really touch on in the Triple Double podcast this week, but check that out. Connor and I were able to break down a bunch of stuff. We had Ahmad on to talk about, you know, the atmosphere and stuff in the arena. I was disappointed I wasn't able to be out there for that. It looked like a great time and a great environment in the Pac-12, in the final Pac-12 tournament for women's basketball. But something I didn't touch on, Mackenzie Forbes talked about how after winning Most Outstanding Player, and once she talked about us in the ESPN interview, which was, you know, she just talks about the team, and Juju Watkins talks about how the team and how the veterans lift her up. And, you know, we talked to Kayla Padilla on the Triple Double podcast. She talked about the team, and you get, like, all these players they bought in and play such good team basketball, and you're seeing different players step up in different games. And it's really fun to watch them because of that, because yes, Juju Watkins can go off and score 51 points against Stanford. And USC beat Stanford, you know, I think they were number 4 at the time, in Maples Pavilion, with her scoring like 88% of their points. Because no one else did anything that night. And they won that game. They won that game by like 9 or 10 points. Then Juju Watkins has her worst scoring output of her career. She only scores 9 points against Stanford. And they still beat the number 2 team with her only scoring 24% of their points or something like that. So it was the highest percentage of her scoring USC's total points and the lowest percentage. And yet both of them resulted in USC getting wins. That's phenomenal. That's something that is rare to see, that if your star player has a night off, sometimes you don't have a true star player. You have your number 1 player. They have an off night. Someone else can pick it up. When you have one of the best players in the country, when they have an off night, the whole team is usually built around them, and it doesn't go well. If Caitlin Clark scores 8 points, is Iowa going to win? She gets hurt in the first quarter. Can they still find a way to win? Maybe, maybe not. But that's something that has really stood out about this group and the way they've grown over the season. So that's been really fun to watch. But I love when Mackenzie Forbes started talking, and she started talking about us and us. She mentioned this is built on the foundation, the shoulders of Lisa Leslie, Cheryl Miller, Tina Thompson, that whole group, the McGee twins, you know, Cynthia Cooper can be thrown into that mix as well. But it's just, it's awesome to see that Lindsey Gottlieb, when she got the job, brought the alumni back in, brought Cheryl Miller back in, said, we want you guys to be a part of this program. And they have been. And to see the way that the current players respect that generation, that they, you know, they reach out to them. We talked to Kayla Padilla about, you know, she got embraced by Cheryl Miller after one game where she hit like 5 threes. And, you know, I was like, what was that moment? You know, getting the GOAT to give you a hug after the game and talk to you. And she's like, you know, that's the type of moment you live for. And I don't know if you listen to that one, Chris, but Kayla Padilla also got a shout out from Adina Menzel in her graduation at Penn. You know, this is how good Kayla Padilla is. She just gets shout outs from all kinds of random celebrities. But to see someone like Cheryl Miller sitting courtside, that's been really awesome to see how much this is kind of a rejuvenation of this program that was once the top tier. you know, one of the blue bloods, one of the top five programs in the nation for a decade. And then after Lisa Leslie, after Cheryl Miller left as a coach, it just has not been the same. And there's been like, you know, it's been 30 years in the desert type of thing. And so to see it come back around and Lindsey Gottlieb reach out to those alumni and say, we want to build off of you. That's been really cool. And to see it kind of build that way. Now you're seeing all the results that were very similar to those days when Cheryl Miller and the McGee twins and stuff, the number one seeds, you know, hosting of the tournament is going to be something, you know, winning a Pac-12 tournament, you know, being in the Pac-12, you know, if Stanford would have played the same schedule as USC, USC might've won the regular season title too. Stanford got a much easier schedule just with the way the schedule played out with the Pac-12 and the round robin-ness of it, with them not playing the same opponents as USC, not having to make the trip to Los Angeles to play UCLA and USC. But USC went with the number two seed, went to Vegas, and did the damn thing, basically. So really fun to see. And, you know, our boy Gavin Morris was had to be there. So, you know, he was living the dream until he got stuck with JetBlue and, you know, couldn't get home type of thing. But that's the biggest thing for the women's side. The men's side, hey, they're playing. They're getting hot at the right time. And that's what March is all about. Can you get hot at the right time? And that's the fun thing about college basketball and other sports that are not college football, is that you always have a chance to win your way in. And so they'll have a chance. They can go to Vegas and they win four straight games. They'll get in the NCAA tournament. You know, they can't get put out by a committee if they win their way in. So they'll have their opportunity, and we'll see. You know, they're getting hot at the right time. We'll see if they can continue that and play well in Vegas and, you know, try to make a run. So far in March, USC basketball teams have not lost. So if they, as I said on the triple-double, if they can make it through the entire month of March without losing, it'll be a pretty good season for both of them.
Our shotgun, every time I think I'm getting hot at the right time, my girlfriend tells me it's not the right time. So he's on mute, so you can't hear him laughing. That joke killed him. So I just want that on record. Yeah, I just want you to give me straight up, shotgun, the percentage chance in your mind out of 100% to 0% of one, the women getting to the national championship. Screw it. Let's say win the national championship. And then the men run the table at the Pac-12 tournament and get that NCAA bid. So I want those percentages for both of those events happening. Again, 100% is like, obviously, it's going to happen. 0%, not a chance in hell that it's happening. So you can go whichever one you want first.
Oh, this is just tough to begin with, trying to put a number on this. I'm trying to find...
I love it.
USC has 20-1 odds to win the Pac-12 tournament. So that's
okay.
That's sixth best in the conference as the number nine seed. And that's okay. And the number nine seed usually does not have good odds because you have to play the one seed if you win your first game.
Yeah.
So people are seeing that the Trojans are playing well at the right time. If it's a 20-1 odds, I'll give it a 15%, 18% chance
that they bumped it up there.
That they make the run. I think that's pretty high. I mean, it's tough to win four games in 4 days for one. That's a tough task. You know, the women of Troy, they had a day off built in, which really helped them because of how physical their game with UCLA was in the semifinals. The men won't get that luxury. So now you got to go a couple of guys deeper in the bench. You got to do a little bit more. You know, everyone's got to do a little bit more than they normally would. So that's the challenge of it. But they have the guys to do it. Isaiah Collier and Boogie Ellis get hot at the same time. This team could go on a run. So I'll give it an 18% chance. And that's 1 in 12 teams winning it. So maybe I'll give it a 20% chance. They'll be one of five teams that I think has a legitimate shot to win the Pac-12 tournament. I think that's an okay percentage. The women winning the national championship, that is such a tough task to do. They are capable. Sure. They're capable of beating every team in this country except for, I don't know about South Carolina. So, you know, if the bracket goes chalk, I don't know who can beat South Carolina. Maybe LSU can. You know, they played pretty well against them in that championship game before all the fisticuffs. But, you know, who's to say they can't? So 100% chance? Is that what we're going for here, Chris?
No, that is the tippity top.
100%, okay. They'll win it.
I don't bank it.
I don't know. Well, that's probably, if we're getting a realistic one, 14% chance.
14% chance. All right.
I mean, that's right. Pretty high when you're 1 of 68 teams, I think. But sure, I don't know. That's fair. Probably a little bit higher. I'm not good. This is a tough way to go about it for me, I think, to try to figure out an accurate percentage here. But it's going to be fun to watch for sure. So I'm looking forward to it. If they, you know, if they get put in a Portland bracket, they'll be playing on Easter weekend. So I don't know if I'm going to be able to make it out for Portland. If they do make it out, if they get put in an Albany bracket, I definitely will be over there. That's a not too far of a drive for me. So I'm hoping for that for my sake, not for anyone else's, selfishly. But if they make it to the Final Four, that'll be in Cleveland. So I'll see you guys in Cleveland if that's the case.
There we go. Shotgun, I think it's time we take a quick break. Then we come back and we'll handle the rest of our show and then get out of here for our return podcast for the Healing Boys. So we'll be right back after these messages.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Picture that super soft t-shirt you love sleeping in. The one that gets softer and softer the more you wear it. Now you can bring that same lived-in softness to your entire bed with Signature Vintage Wash Sheets from Boll & Branch. This all-new collection is even softer than your favorite t-shirt, with a distinctly relaxed look and feel for your best night's sleep. Just like all Boll & Branch bedding, Signature Vintage Wash Sheets start with the highest quality, 100% organic cotton. The lived-in feel comes from a small batch washing process, creating a level of softness you've never felt before. And it's not just the feel. Boll & Branch mastered the laid-back aesthetic using a special technique that creates the well-loved look you'll find with vintage jeans. And true to the Boll & Branch hallmark, Signature Vintage Wash Sheets get softer and softer with every wash. Right now, you can get 15% off your first order with promo code ODYSSEY and save on their most relaxing sheets. So head to BollAndBranch.com today. That's B-O-L-L and Branch.com.
Shoddy, we're back. I know we haven't, when we started the show, gotten a lot of questions. Has there been any more additions? Because it's going to dictate how I handle the final half of the show in terms of timing.
Only one or two so far. We'll see. We're putting out the bat signal just to make sure that there aren't any more coming in. But you know, we only got a couple of questions. It was a quick turnaround with our tweet that we normally put out. And because it's been so long, people are probably stunned. You know, probably shock of them. They, you know, passed out.
They think it's fake. They think it's fake news. They think it's an impersonator doing the question thing. Yeah, I get it.
Quite possibly.
I get it. So I'll give it a little bit more time. We'll briefly talk about the combine, the NFL combine, which happened a couple weeks ago. Obviously, the headlining of it all was Xavier Worthy setting the new 40 record with a 4.21, just blazingly fast. But obviously, we only care about the Trojans. Caleb Williams did not throw, which guarantees that the USC's NFL Pro Day is going to be probably be hectic because he'll be throwing at Pro Day with his. Were you at the Sam Darnold one?
In the rain, yes.
Yeah, in the rain. It was just incredibly packed. But obviously, that is nothing to the days of the Pete Carroll era where they were having all these scouts come on campus. But it should be a busy day at Loker Stadium with lots of people trying to get a look at the potential favorite number one pick throwing his official showcase for the scouts. The big winner, probably Marshawn Lloyd, who ran a 4.46 during his 40 time. Again, he has only seen his stock rise and rise and rise since the Reese Senior Bowl. And then, you know, there's a lot of love for him on social media and among scouts. And with a 4.4 time, essentially, there's talk that he might be, you know, the first running back off the board. So we'll see how that plays out. Probably going to be second, third round pick. I don't see him falling past the third round. So we'll see what that happens. Brendan Rice did not run as fast as I thought he would run. I don't have the official time on top of my head, but I thought maybe he could touch into that 4.4 range a little bit. I don't believe Taj Washington ran. Caleb Bullock did run. He had a good, solid time, and I think he helped his stock a little bit. The big thing was, you know, they were talking about, I know Gerard has been saying this for a while, but there are teams that like him at cornerback and want to see him work out as a cornerback. So we'll see how that develops over the next couple months going into the draft. But yeah, I think the Trojans had some good showings, had some good moments overall with the NFL Combine. Shoddy.
Yeah. Yeah, Kalen Bullock ran a 4.48. Brendan Rice ran a 4.50. And Jarrett Kingston actually put on a pretty athletic showing as far as his agility scores.
Oh, that's
and
right.
Stuff.
That's right.
He ran a 5.02 in there. So the four guys that did run, you know, ran well. You know, I don't know what you were expecting out of Brendan Rice. I thought 4.5 at his size is pretty good. Not necessarily outstanding.
I was expecting in the 4.4. I was expecting a little bit like 4.48. I was expecting him to get to that hump. I know in the grand scheme of things, it doesn't matter, but I know some people, you know, to them it matters that 4.5 compared to like a 4.48, it does matter, but in the grand scheme, it doesn't matter. He's still fast for his size, but I was thinking it was going to be in that 4.48 range.
Yeah, and there's not many people that you know that can do what Xavier Worthy did, so you know that was pretty impressive. Otherwise, what stood out to you? I mean, you mentioned that Marshawn Lloyd was fast. He was, I think, the like fourth or fifth running back as far as his time. You know, he's there as far as the big body that he has. He had one of the faster times of the big body running backs. So you know, I thought that he looked really good. I don't know, Brendan Rice, I thought, went through the drills and stuff pretty well from the little bit I saw. It's disappointing that everyone just doesn't do everything. It's so shielded now, like, oh, I can't do this because it won't look great. Like, Tom Brady ran the 40. I know, like, people are like, oh, I don't want to do it because someone's going to deem me for it. Like, Tom Brady ran it. Why can't you? Everyone knew, no one expected Tom Brady to, you know, set a blazing 40, but like, let's just get the actual comparisons together and like do every drill. It'd be great if everyone would do the drills. I don't care if you throw or not. Like, if you're going to be there for the testing and do all the testing stuff, because some of these guys will go to their pro day and still not do test there. So they won't even have a time.
But,
and they think they think that's better for them. It's like, well, if they don't know that I run a 4.58 rather than a 4.48, then that's better. And like some teams may be like, we can't trust this guy to actually, you know, even put a time out there. Then maybe they'll wait for a individual workout or something. But it's a little bit frustrating to me that these type of events where you want to see everyone participate actually participate. You know, it's the age of the opt-out now is what we're in. with NIL and with the volume of money that's thrown around, we have come to the age of the opt-out, whether it be opting out of the Senior Bowl. Like, why the hell did you even go if you're not going to play in the game? Oh, I competed during the week. Yeah. I like Michael Penix saying when he's at the combine, I'm like, somebody asked him, why did you decide to throw? Well, I'm a competitor. And, you know, anytime there's a chance to compete, I'm going to compete. Except when it was actually playing in the game at the Senior Bowl. Like, that doesn't make any sense to me. Like, if you want to be a competitor, and I know it's not probably not this person making the full decision on their own. It's the agency and everything else and all there's this risk. If you're going to compete, go compete. I understand the, you know, try not to be hurt and different things like that. But if you're a skill player and you've gone through an entire week of practice going doing one-on-ones and going through team stuff, like what different is it in the game? Like, I don't see the big difference there. But you know, that's just my own personal opinion.
People get hurt. I saw multiple guys pull up lame during the 40 that got hurt during the 40 this year. And then obviously Andrew Voorhees, you know, had a bad injury during his combine experience. So I know it's, you know, football, it's freak accidents. They happen. Injuries happen. It's part of the combine and just football in general, but just more people are risk averse nowadays. And, you know, it's not just you making the decision, as you mentioned, it's, you know, your agency, your whatever telling you, you know, we advise you not to do this. So you're saying shotgun, if they advise you not to run, you're not running? Or you're saying, nah, I'm running with a hat on too.
No, we don't want to see how slow my 40 time would be. I run a 5.240.
I'm just saying if you're an athlete, I'm just saying if you're a top draft athlete.
Yes, I would want to run for sure. And now, again, there's ways to get your times out there. You can hold your own event, blah, blah, blah. But like, I just want to, if you're going to accept an invite to something, then I want you to actually participate in it. If not, then just move out of the way and let somebody else do it. That's more my issue than people opting out. Like, I understand opting out of a bowl game, a meaningless bowl game. I understand, you know, doing the risk versus reward. I understand that. But if you are invited to something and you accept the invitation, then you show up and you do the events. Like, you get invited to a party, you don't go there and put your headphones on and stand in the corner, right? Like, you don't be like, I gotta go to the room and do and just chill out by myself. Like, you've accepted an invitation to the party, so come to party, right? That's my thoughts. If you go to a wedding, you go to have fun. If you accept the invitation, you better come and have fun. Better be here to celebrate whoever it is. Like, they already spent however much money on this plate of food that is definitely not worth $700 or whatever it is. You know, I don't know wedding prices, whatever. But you understand my drift, I believe, Chris.
Sounds like shotgun would be terrible on The Price is Right, and that'd be his excuse. I don't know prices. Drew, I don't know prices. I'm sorry.
I'm no Ryan Abraham. I don't buy stuff.
I'm no Ryan Abraham. I don't know. Only stocks on the Helium Boys podcast. That's the only thing I buy, stocks. Shotgun, anything else you want to add before we move on to our limited platter of questions?
No, I think that's about it. I mean, the combine is always fun to watch, guys. I didn't get to watch a ton of it. One of the cool things about the combine, or the most touching things, is unfortunately the passing of Chris Mortensen. Daniel Jeremiah, that's his mentor, to see that moment where, you know, he's just choking back tears to try to talk about, you know, what Chris Mortensen meant to him. That, and him saying that Chris Mortensen was texting him the day before, you know, asking about stuff. So that's, you know, heartwarming, and also at the same time super saddening to hear Chris Mortensen pass away, because from everyone I've heard from has ever encountered him, said, talked about how nice of a guy he was. So that's something that our thoughts go out to the family and to everyone that he's touched in his life.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, obviously a very heartbreaking and heartwarming moment just seeing DJ have, you know, share that emotion live on television.
Yeah.
And have that, you know, he's holding back tears, but that composure as well to let everyone know what he meant to him, and, you know, what he meant to the industry and people around him. So DJ has always been one of my favorite analysts, announcers, whatever you want to call it. And that just made me like him like 100 times more. So just being able to, you know, stay composed, even though, but also show the emotion of, you know, how important he was to him. So rest in peace. You know, we all know Mort. So from, you know, TV and seeing him everywhere. So yeah, that was a tough one. Shotgun, got some questions.
All right.
I only see one. We're only going to start with one, I guess.
We got a second one that came in.
Oh, I see it. Samuel at SC Trojan says Eric Henderson has hashtag dog work. If you were a coach, what would your hashtag be? It's a good question.
It is a
Good
great
question.
question.
This is a great question. It's put me on the spot here to come up with a hashtag.
Yeah,
I mean, I know, go ahead.
A couple of them could be like gun time has always been something that one of my
Gun
buddies
time.
says anytime around me. He's like, "Ooh, gun time." Maybe that. Or if we're in coach mode, we go shoddy says, hashtag shoddy says.
Yeah. I was gonna say Shoddy says.
Otherwise, the best thing is actually a sound bite rather than a hashtag. So my walkout music, you call my bullpen music when I was coming into games in college, was actually it actually began with two shotgun blasts. So it was the clicking of the gun, the ch-ch-ch-ch-ch. So like
So
that, if you can put that into a hashtag form somehow.
you're just saying you would walk around with a little device that plays two shotgun blasts
That would be
everywhere you go?
instead of when you change periods, that would be my signal to change periods if I was the head coach.
Okay.
So instead of like two
Okay.
whistles, say we move on or whatever, or three
Okay.
whistles, it'd just be, a certain amount of shotgun blasts.
Yeah, period seven. Here's
People on
seven.
campus are going, "What's going
Yeah.
on?" I guess it
Yeah.
probably wouldn't work so well,
Yeah, it
unfortunately, with
probably wouldn't
the
work.
nation that we're
The
in now, unfortunately.
wouldn't be well timed, certainly. I'm having trouble coming up with something. The only thing I can really think of is like 10K certified. I don't know that. I don't like that. I don't love that. I actually hate that. But that's like the only thing I can come up with on my brain right now.
Trevino Tech, I don't know. Trevino Tech's gonna have to get to work here.
Yeah, I'll think about it a little bit more, but as of right now, that's the best I could come up with. It's not great. Shotguns, even if is an audio hashtag, whatever that means, is better. The final question, De La Cruz, comes from: do you think bringing in this many outside personalities on the staff has a potential to create tension? What happens if the going gets ugly early?
That's a pretty good question, and a valid concern. When you bring in a bunch of new people, how does everything mesh together? And that's something we'll find out some in the spring is, do you, well, I keep saying that we will find out, like we get to watch practice. We don't get to watch enough practice to be able to really tell, but we will get to speak to the coaches during practice if it continues to be the way it has been in the past. We get to speak to them during spring camp, during fall camp, and then shut down during the season. So, we'll get to kind of hear what they have to say because you end up talking it to, the Eric Henderson, and you ask him which offensive linemen have stood out to you. And so then he'll talk about Josh Henson's group and talk about probably Josh Henson on the other side, and you get a feel for those type of things. So, if the going gets tough, though, that changes everything. It's just like if everyone is not content, everyone is okay with not playing as much as they want when you're winning the national championship. When you're undefeated. But when you lose a couple games, you start going, "Man, I should be playing in front of this guy. I should be getting more reps than so and so." And that's where that tension in the locker room starts building. And then it can even, if it's bad, it spills into verbal or physical altercations between people saying, "Man, I should be playing more than you. You're sorry." And then it going back and forth, and you can create a divide. Whether it be like if it's quarterbacks, group wants to be behind quarterback A, other group wants to be behind quarterback B, that type of thing. So, when the going gets tough, that's when it's all about your team chemistry and how well you built that. And you got to give credit to Lincoln Riley. I think they've done a good job of that. It just did not work well last year, their defense being terrible, but I think the chemistry was still fine. You didn't feel like there was that same divide that there was like in 2021, where it just felt like everything fell apart and so did the team.
I think this question obviously gets labeled a lot because of all the like former defensive coordinators they brought in with the defensive staff and guys that have that kind of experience. I know it's something that keeps coming up, but I mean, Danton Lynn is the man in charge in that room. And he also seems very like not egotistical in the way of, you know, you think of most coaches. He's talked about how he likes having a lot of different voices. And I think that's the sign of a good coach, to be able to listen to other ideas, because if you get stuck in an echo chamber, that's usually not good, and that can lead to disastrous results. So I think, yeah, I see it both ways. I also see having, you know, multiple guys with multiple different backgrounds and can give experience and give opinions on things that they've seen. I think that can only make a room better. And I do see how it could go sideways, but I also think if you create the right kind of culture and bring in the right kind of like coaches that can work in that environment, I think it could have very, very good results. And for right now, I haven't seen or heard anything that would says otherwise that it's going to be disastrous. But I think Danton Lynn, as a young coach, is very open to a lot of ideas. I know it's his scheme, but he also has said it's open to it has creativity and flexibility built in. And, you know, if you have a lot of other people talking, giving ideas, you know, that's how you get that flexibility and see those changes and tweaks that go on throughout the season. Nothing is perfect and you have to keep building it and tweaking it. So I think it helps having different voices to give their side and their opinion.
Yeah. And our limited interactions with Danton Lynn, it doesn't seem like he is a pushover, but it seems like he is open-minded. And as long as you find that balance, like it felt like times there's been coaches in the past that were pushovers. And so people underneath them would say, this is what we're doing. And they would ride with it instead of saying, I'm in charge. No, that's not what exactly we're doing. And there's also been people that have been like, it's my way or the highway. And especially nowadays, it just doesn't seem like that works well. You know, the old school coaches, you know, it'd be don't even have to be like, you know, the verbal, you know, berates players and stuff. It doesn't even have to be that way. But the my way or highway way doesn't always work. You gotta be able to be flexible enough to realize, all right, my system may be amazing, the best system ever made, but it doesn't work well with this group of players. So how can I bend and, you know, and be flexible enough to find what works for them? That's the best coaches. That's the best teachers. That's the best, you know, all that. And that's what they talked about being. They want to be teachers first, not just coaches. So if you can teach things the right way, you can be flexible enough and help people learn, then you're only going to see success down the road. And that means helping your fellow coaches learn as well as the players learn.
Just a reminder, if you want to send us a question through email, you can email us at podcast@usfootball.com. But our most popular method for the Helium Boys podcast is to look out for Shotgun's tweet that asks and solicits questions. So be on the lookout for that. We are starting back up. Shotgun, that is the end of our show. But I do have a shout out, because I promised there'd be shout outs for people that purchased Helium Boys merch. Now, we haven't gotten a purchase in a while, so just a reminder, you can go to the Peristyle shop and peruse and purchase some USFootball.com merch. But this is an old email that we got, but I hadn't received it by the time we did our last show, so I kind of been holding it. So I wanted to shout out Keith from Colorado. I'm sorry it took so long to give you this shout out, but he was one of the first people to buy some of our merch, including a Helium Boy sweatshirt. And I, at the time, just a reminder, if you buy one, I will shout you out at the end of the podcast like I'm doing right now. And I shouted out Keith and I gave him the compliment that he looks like he recycles. He recycles well. And he sent an email. He said, Chris, first, you were right. I do recycle. Won't likely run into you wearing these since we are in Colorado, So I thought we'd share a photo of me and my daughter sporting your merch. Happy New Year, fight on, Keith from Colorado. And he sent some pictures of him and his daughter. Keith is wearing our Helium Boys shotgun. There's a grown man with our faces on his chest in Colorado. His name is Keith. And yeah, shout out to Keith and his daughter for rocking the merch. I loved it. They did a little photo back to back with some finger guns, you know, that classic image. So thank you, Keith, for showing off the swag. And Shotgun and I are very much looking forward to seeing some Helium Boys merch out in the wild this season, possibly as early as the spring game. I don't know if Shotgun's going to be at the spring game, but I will be at the spring game. So hoping just throughout the season, we get to see some of that that Helium Boys swag out there across the country.
Yeah, and truly across the country, all the way up here, all the way over here in College Park. Hopefully there's a whole crew in College Park of Chris's former Maryland classmates, friends that show up to the game or show up to a tailgate or the meetup that we'll inevitably have, rocking the Helium Boys with Chris's face on it. That'll be awesome. But we'll see if that happens. We look forward to it. We appreciate everyone that has purchased stuff in the past. And we're getting back in the regular rhythm now that spring ball is back around. So now you can get your shirts out. You can go ahead and purchase yours so that you make sure that you are dressed to a T. You know, you're fitted up perfectly for football season this year.
All right, Shotgun, that's going to do it for us and our return episode. We had a deadline time, and we are right on schedule. I love it. I love when a plan comes together. Shotgun, I'm not going to give you the opportunity to talk because then you would take us over that time and ruin this moment. But I am Chris. That is Shotgun. Thank you for listening to the Helium Boys. We are back. Spring football is here. And then sooner or later, fall football is here. Another crazy season, Big Ten season, me and Shotgun on the road, taking on the world. So Shotgun, to you, to me, the Helium Boys are back. Thank you for listening, and we will catch you next time.
Peace.